Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome again to Circles of Change. Our second hour, we've got two guest segments. And first, it's a bit of old home week because my guest and I realized that we actually lived almost two streets apart before we both moved here to Tucson, at least the place that she worked in. I'd like to welcome to the studio Stephanie Coakley. Welcome, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Stephanie is the Director of Education at the Tucson Museum of Art in the Historic Block. It's a position that she's held since 2004. A native of Connecticut, she's armed with a Bachelor of Arts in both Art History and English from the University of Connecticut. Stephanie first launched her career at the Hillstead Museum, which is what I was referring to, a fabulous estate. That was literally two streets over, and I can recall walking my kids there when they were first born. She was there for 2 years before the next five, working in the education department at the very famous Gibbs Museum of Art in Charleston, South Carolina. So with that, she then picked up stakes and was attracted to come here to Tucson and currently serves as the Western Regional Representative for the American Association of Museums. She's active locally in the Tucson arts and education community and has served on a board for the Tucson Visiting Art Consortium, Dinnerware Contemporary Arts, and as an art education grant panelist for both the Arizona Commission of the Arts and the Tucson Pima Arts Council. As you're going to learn firsthand, Stephanie is absolutely dedicated to teaching people of all ages how to best look at and fully experience visual art, make connections from, I'll say, the familiar to the unfamiliar, and also build cognitive skills that are necessary for learning about other topics of interest and successfully thus participating in life experiences in general. So in that bigger picture, transform a viewer's attitude and perspective towards what it means to really be human. That's a pretty strong and bold charge.
It is, and I absolutely love every minute of it. I'm absolutely fortunate to have the job and career that I've had for many years now.
So are you one that as a child would get the opportunity through family or friends to go to a lot of museums, or where do you think this came from, this passion that you have?
I think it came from my deep desire to learn about as much as I can and know as much as I can. And I have a curiosity for everything under the sun and meeting people from all walks of life. So I think that's really where it came from.
And I think that's probably manifested as well, the fact that you are a New Englander from Connecticut, then moved to Charleston and now to Tucson. Just even the whole idea of uprooting yourself and moving.
Right. Three very different parts of the country.
Yeah.
Culturally rich in their own ways.
What was it like for you then, since you're such a visual observer of learning, to come to Tucson for that first time?
Oh, well, I was just taken back by, obviously, the environmental beauty and our flora and fauna and the gorgeous mountain ranges that surround us and the bright, sunny days that we have most of the year, the light here. Mm-hmm. Couldn't be more different than a day in Connecticut,
isn't that
for
the dream,
example?
Depending on the time of year.
Right.
Well, Stephanie, of course, I'm sure a lot of our listeners here locally know to appreciate the Tucson Museum of Arts, but recognize we have streamers from all over the country, and this will be caught up on a podcast. Give us a quick overview of the museum and what makes it unique, and particularly maybe the things that spark in your mind compared to the Gibbs Museum, mm-hmm. or others that you've always had a lifelong connectivity to.
Mm-hmm. What comes to mind for me this morning, the Tucson Museum of Art has so much to offer in its permanent collection and special exhibitions. The permanent collection consists of so many different art collecting areas: pre-Columbian art, Spanish colonial, folk art from South America, modern and contemporary art, Native American art, a growing collection of Asian art, art of the American West, and a historic block. 4 acres our campus includes, and 5 historic houses that help tell the story of the history of Tucson architecturally, but also through its interesting families that lived there downtown. It's very different in a lot of ways from other parts of the country in that our scope is is really so broad.
It is, and it doesn't have to mean five floors of each one of those elements you talked about. In fact, that's often overwhelming for people that
sure.
go to bigger museums. You feel compelled that you have to go visit every room, and then you frenetically miss really the gems that you could otherwise enjoy. So it's sometimes having a smaller, more compact, tailored, and integrated facility has more merit.
Our spaces are intimate, I would say. That's a great point. And from an educator's perspective, I am thinking about, is our visitor overwhelmed? We have a lot of exhibitions on view at the same time. And certainly it could be frustrating to go to your local art museum and feel like you missed something because you couldn't stay for a half a day.
Or you just overload within the first couple hours.
Oh,
absolutely. So you don't want to do that.
Right.
Well, there's another area, obviously, of the museum, and this, of course, is right there in your title of being Director of Education. It isn't just what's on static display, of course, as dynamic it is, but it's also all the dynamic offerings that the institution offers. Take us in that direction, please.
Yes, we're so much more than an art museum in the fact that not only do we collect art, preserve art, research art, but in a sense bring it to life. Our mission is connecting art to life, and I'm very proud of the fact that I think we do that throughout the year, every day, enticing and attracting people from all over Tucson, all ages, in a variety of programs, activities, experiences.
And then, and those are in both standing routine programs, but also special programs.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Well, I also know that one of the real crown jewels, because we, of course, have had the opportunity to have the director, Robert Knight, come on the show, is the unique offerings of having a high school that coexists right there in the facility. Tell us about that school.
It is a point of pride for the Tucson Museum of Art more and more. We partnered with Tucson's largest school district, Tucson Unified School District, a few years ago to co-manage the Museum School for the Visual Arts. And what the Museum School is a high school devoted to teenagers with an interest in the visual arts, teenagers that perhaps learn better in a smaller environment with a lot of support, a lot of individual attention, and course access to works of art and artists, mm-hmm. mentors, and things like that. It's a really special, unique program.
And how long has that been in existence?
It's been with us for 3 years now. Certainly the high school has a longer history than that. It goes back to the late 1990s when it was a after-school program with the Tucson Pima Arts Council and the Tucson Unified School District. And they came to us a few years ago needing a space. They had lost their lease at here in Tucson, and it really made sense to look at the local art museum as a possible partner. And we immediately saw the potential there, and I wouldn't have wanted to have it any other way.
And so this came forward since your tenure of being director there.
Mm-hmm, it did.
So you get to also be a high school principal at the same time.
Yes, that's what I'm called at the museum.
And again, so our listeners appreciate this. This is probably a one of its kind in the nation, would you know?
To our knowledge, I cannot find another example where there's a program for teenagers, so at the high school level, on the grounds of an art museum. Literally, the high school is in our education center, and the kids take their academic classes with their visual art classes all in the same day. They have a short walk over to the art museum to view the many different areas of our collection.
And so you've got how many students enrolled in the program now?
We have about 30.
And so this is the junior, so you've got students that are now juniors, so next year will be your first high school graduating class then.
We started with a mix of ages. So we've graduated a number of students already. Many are currently taking classes at Pima Community College. I have a couple students right now who haven't attended any other high school but ours, and I'm really proud of those guys.
You have to say that evolve.
Mm-hmm.
That evolve. Well, your whole journey from museum to museum now, I mean, this cross-section, and you mentioned the variety that we offer here at the Tucson Museum of Art. Also the special programs, the traveling exhibits that or the many that originate here, those take many years in the planning, don't they?
They do. We have a great team on board. We work years in advance in planning what the museum will host.
The working with the community groups and projects, how about we talk about those? I know you've done collaborations with the Alzheimer's Association and something called the Owl and the Panther Project. What are those two?
Mm-hmm. For 3 years now, we've been partnered with the local chapter of the Alzheimer's Association for a program designed for people with dementia and their caregivers. And what that involves is weekly visits with the same group of participants for gallery tours, looking at and talking about art in the galleries, followed by a hands-on art-making component. And we're certainly not the only ones doing this in the country, but I am really glad we're able to do this because there is proven information and research out there that has demonstrated the benefits of looking at art, but also talking about art. And the stories I hear from family members after the fact that, wow, they can't believe their mother started talking about that. She hasn't talked about that in so many years.
So that experience awakens an opportunity to bring something else that might be locked in.
Absolutely. And awakens is the key word. Looking at a particular object or maybe a work of art that tells a particular story does spark some kind of recollection. And then even more so, the conversation that begins to happen among the group, not only between family members, but participants. And then even more so, between participants and the program's volunteers and staff. And so we're all there in that one group looking at one work of art, for example, and obviously based on our backgrounds and different experiences, we all bring different things to the conversation, and that dynamic really stimulates brain activity, I think.
And I can imagine this is another instance, you know, we talk about on this show here quite often about the idea of giving back or giving forward to help others, that at the end of the day it ripples back and can knock you right off your socks, you know, right off your feet. So those people that volunteer, I suspect some of them volunteer in others of your programs, perhaps, mm-hmm. but then they get to this one, and it really must be breathtaking.
Oh, absolutely. It's, I'm in it for selfish reasons sometimes. It's yeah. really rewarding.
That's right. The Owl and the Panther, what is that program then?
That's another partnership where the museum is working with refugees living here in Tucson. This year, we're working with children and families from Bhutan, Iraq, Somalia. And the Owl and Panther Project is a nonprofit group here in town supported by the Hopi Foundation. They've been around for a long time, and they're led by a terrific woman in town, Marge Pellegrino, who's absolutely dedicated and devoted to this audience. And in particular, her Owl and Panther Project participants suffer from some form of trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And she works with them mostly around literacy. And we came together about a year ago and have planned a regular program where, again, participants visit the museum. In this case, in the evening hours, we begin with a potluck dinner, vegetarian meals. Our volunteers cook. And we eat dinner in the museum's lobby. And then start the program with looking at art and talking about art. And the younger kids, it's all ages. I have 3, 4, 5-year-olds and their grandparents all in the same room. And we do different things based on the age group. And so the younger kids make art with some of our University of Arizona art education interns and local art teachers. And then we're in the galleries talking about art. It's one of those other rewarding opportunities.
Well, particularly if you're reaching out your hand to those who have been victims of trauma and challenges that we here in the United States wouldn't know to appreciate firsthand. The other thing I hear from you in the case of certainly that program, but also actually both of these programs, is for our listeners to be mindful that a museum such as this one is not just about, again, the artwork that's there on the walls, that you're serving as a community center, a vital part of what Tucson offers across all those different lines.
I do believe it's a service-oriented organization, and that museums in general are that more and more so these years, and we're part of that here in Tucson.
That's right. You found those circumstances similar for your work back east at the Gibbs Museum then in South Carolina?
I did, absolutely. More so with traditional audiences, perhaps.
It's different, yeah.
And now that was nearly 7 years ago, and the museum field is growing and growing each year, and I think the definition of museums, it has changed, and it's really exciting to be a part of that and be able to offer that here in Tucson.
Well, you mentioned right before we came on the air that you're looking forward to, you know, you're a young professional that moved here 7 years ago and you live within a walking distance. You know, isn't that a lovely commute, right?
Right.
That you're also now going to be starting a master's in fine arts program at the University of Arizona. So your decision to go back to school after so much time, what was all that about?
That's about continuing to challenge myself, I think. I'd really like to be able to have more time dedicated to research, publish some of my findings through my practical hands-on experience. I look forward to being surrounded by others that have this kind of deep interest in the power of museums in social change. So I'm looking forward to combining my work experience with theory. And I'll continue to work as much as I do now, but also go to school at night.
That's lovely. So let's tap on that one, the power of museums to enact social change. I think clearly your volunteer program, you just spoke about the owl and the panther, that is about that.
Mm-hmm.
But go a little bit deeper on that one, the mm-hmm. idea of social change.
Mm-hmm. I think in every aspect of our operations, we're involved in change, both on a personal level, but also broader out within the society. And for me, museums are about relationships. They're about opportunities to learn about yourself. I see that in our high school. One of my favorite aspects of our high school is seeing the kids do just that, gain insights into themselves that they didn't have before. And I think that's happening in looking at art for them, but also their mentorship opportunities with other artists, learning about each other. They love each other, these kids.
So the fact of insights about themselves. So you're saying by studying a piece of art, they can now become more confident in their ability to evaluate something?
Confidence is it. That's it. The light in some of these kids' eyes, when they're able to create something that they didn't think that they could, or when they look at something and have a wow experience, or meet an artist who is successful in so many ways, they can almost kind of begin to identify with that and say, hey, you know, maybe I can do that.
Right, and that's the idea of closing that loop for mentorship. The other piece, of course, I think some of the finest artists, in fact, a dear friend of ours, a partner with my husband, Alan Martin, an artist here in town who lives in the barrio, he often says that, well, really, my picture is only 50% complete when I complete it. The other 50% comes from the contributions of those who view it.
Yes. The beginning.
It's only the beginning. And he often says, people will say, well, Alan, so tell me what this painting's all about. And he'll immediately say, well, why don't you tell
right.
me?
What do you see?
Because he's sort of like, I'm bored with what I see. Or maybe you don't know. And then when he says certain of his works have been reviewed by others, and he sort of says, wow, did I really do that? So the openness that's inspiring the lights in others.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So the mentorship possibility is really, really true. As I mentioned, I think before we came on the air, both of our children are very much inclined, most likely, to go study in the visual arts in some way. We had quite an engaging conversation at dinner about, you know, schools that are cutting back on their art programs. And they were emphatic, both children, seventh grade and junior, to say, well, they're taking away a vital need of the entire curriculum of the school if they do that.
This is true. It is unfortunate because we know that participating in the arts has numerous benefits that not only happen within the classroom, but obviously outside and in life as well. And the arts are invaluable to a well-rounded person, but also what it takes to be a creative thinker. And we know we can't have innovation. The future is innovation. And I don't think that's possible without a creative mind.
And that's what I even said when I had introduced your statement about building cognitive skills. This mm-hmm. truly is about exercising the muscles of the brain just as much as an athletic program does within a school to keep the body healthy.
Right. Both the studio aspect of making art, which is a lesson which you can learn with practice and hard work, but also looking at art and artifacts from other cultures and time periods and the questions and discussion that happens in front of a work of art with yourself, but a group of people. All of this is working on the brain at all times.
And I think back to that confidence factor, too, of allowing us all to learn how to give voice to what's otherwise in our head.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a skill in and of itself, mm-hmm. whether that be argumentatively or debate or being in sync with others.
Mm-hmm. Expression,
absolutely. Well, before we run out of time, what are some of the programs coming up or special exhibits that you'd like to talk about that are at the museum right now?
Well, not to be missed, if you're in town, February 11th, that's a Friday evening, we'll host a large-scale party for the opening of four different exhibitions, two involving glass art, one work by a painting professor here at the University of Arizona, and then lastly, serigraphs by Bill Shank. And that celebration begins at 6 p.m. It goes until 11 p.m. It's a big weekend for us, lots to do. Definitely look into that.
That's great. Really good. Any other closing thoughts that you have that you want to share that you feel a topic we haven't touched on?
Just that I encourage you to visit the museum and check out the website if you haven't yet. And it's a good way to get to know more about Tucson and meet people here in town.
It's a great rendezvous point. You have a lovely cafe.
Yes, lunch.
As well. A lovely break.
And breakfast now, too.
And breakfast as well. Well, great. Well, Stephanie Coakley, who's Director of Education and Principal, as we say, at the high school that's embedded, it's a real pleasure to have you come here. Thanks for your contributions to the museum, to the town in general, and our culture. So we'll look forward to keeping track of your career and the efforts of the museum.
Thank you.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580.